Welcome to Gun Talk Nation. Woo! Gun Talk Nation this week is brought to you by Springfield Armory and also Timney Triggers. Pistol caliber carbines are some of the most popular firearms right now, and Timney Triggers has three different trigger options to meet your needs. Add the AR-PCC trigger, the AR-PCC two-stage trigger, or the AR Daniel Horner signature two-stage adjustable trigger to your rig to improve accuracy and overall shooting experience.
And I think you'll just feel better about yourself.
Yeah, you'll be superior. No gunsmith needed. Timney triggers are easy to install. Find out more at timneytriggers.com. It's not Timony. It's Timney.
No, Timney.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. I say that Timony.
I know. Everybody does.
You do?
Oh, no. Everyone says Timony.
Well, I don't know. It's like, it's one of those things until you talk to somebody who works for that company or whatever, corrects you on it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Timney. Yeah. We do that. There's a lot of, we were actually joking about it. Colt's easy. Suggestions with Colt. I don't know if I said that already, but who are we talking to? What are we doing right now? Colt is easy, but yeah, there are a lot of names out there like Leupold. People mess up Leupold all the time. Yeah. But you know, I think Bruce Pettit from Leupold says, I don't correct my customers on how to pronounce it.
That's right.
However they want to pronounce it.
It's cool. As long as they're scopes. Okay, let's get back into this. So right before we started, we were talking about pajama carry and how great of a video would it be. And it begs the question on what, like, how, so you guys go out, you run to the grocery store or something. How are you guys carrying?
So, well, and this came from the whole quarantine thing. So, you know, we joke that like everyone is pantsless from,
pantsless
when they're on these Zoom calls and doing all this stuff. So we were saying, you know, how do you carry if you're wearing pajama pants all day? How do you draw from it, all that stuff? That's actually, so your question, how do you carry when you go to the grocery store? It's personally a little aggravation for me because I don't go to the grocery store wearing gym shorts. I can't do it. And I'm like, damn it. Now I got to go put on some real shorts with a belt so I can carry the dang gun. And then every time I think, I'll just go over there, I'm like, no, because then I'll get killed and everybody will go, oh, Ryan from Gun Talk, he wasn't even carrying. What a dumbass. Yeah.
But see, you also have to sit there and think, like, Justin's with Colt, so I know he has got a sweet collection of 1911s. And you ain't going to carry a 1911 in jogging pants or athletic shorts.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I do have one of the polymer Mustangs, which is probably the lightest gun that we've made in the last 10 years.
Ooh.
If you're going to stick a gun in some gym shorts, that's probably the one to do it with.
That's the one.
Polymer Mustang. You guys still,
well, that would
that?
Be cool.
No, we haven't made it in years. I want to say it went away somewhere like 2017-ish. And it only came out in like 11.
A little short run.
All big blur, all strings together for me. But
the poly Stang—that's your gym short carry.
Yeah. So that leads into a whole different thing. Is that what? Is that the next gun that people are going to say? You know, Colt, what they ought to do is they ought to bring back that poly Mustang.
So poly Stang.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's funny, if you're there long enough. Like, so I was there. I've been at Cool Now since 2007. So I was there at 2008 SHOT Show, or maybe it was 2009 SHOT Show was in Florida. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so all the way back then, people were saying, bring back the Colt Mustang. And we would just get peppered all the time with that. That was at the time, probably a bigger request than bring back the Colt Python. Bring back the Colt Python kind of was like 2012, 2013 started gaining a lot more traction. But before then it was bring back the Mustang. So we did, we brought back the Mustang. And
that was the Colt Mustang XSP in 2013, only weighed 11.8 ounces.
Yeah. Ooh.
380 ACP.
That's awesome.
Guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Half a defender.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Half of a 45 defender. Now, so you mentioned the Colt Python. I mean, that is the gigantic news for you guys in 2020. Yeah. It's really the only thing offsetting 2020 in this dumpster fire of a year is that Colt brought back the Python. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, the scale, it helps out on.
Yeah.
But so what is the backstory? Because we heard for years, like, there's no way that the cult python will ever come back, and the way that it was manufactured, you know, it just couldn't be.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of truth to that stuff. Like, even back when in the, like, let's say the late 90s, when we were making pythons, and into the, like, early 2000s, when we were making custom shop pythons, like, we had stopped making parts, actually, like, years before that, and then they just kind of had this pile of parts. They had enough parts to continue making them in the custom shop, as long as they, you know, were fitting them and kind of building them the hard way, as I'd say. And so it wasn't really until, like, that all got exhausted, and we legitimately were just out of pieces and out of parts in around 2004, 2005 that it kind of went away. And, you know, and for at least some number of years, it didn't have the energy that started building around, you know, like I said, 2012, 2013. And then it just got, like, you know, deafening by probably about 2015, 2016. And it was just like, we gotta bring this thing back. And actually, it's kind of been on the plan. It had kind of been on the plan for a number of years. I'd say probably going back into that period, 2013, 2014.
It's like one of those things that you guys talk about each year and you go, yeah, that's
well, yeah, that. I would say it's like on a long list of projects. And then, like, you know, look, it's just the way business works. Like, you're only going to fund 4 out of the list of 12 that you want to do.
Right. That's the reality.
And you're always picking. And then eventually it just had to get done.
But that's one of those guns, like, and I think all of us kind of have our favorites around, you know, the whole firearms industry that we wish we'd see come back. But that was one of the ones that I kept hearing time after time. And I had a buddy who worked with Colt a while back, and he said that was the number one question he'd get, whether at a trade show or at a consumer show, anything like that. You guys are hearing this constantly. Hey, you know what you ought to bring back? And you can't. Because, like, what I might want, my grandma and me might buy it. I mean, that's, and she's just buying it for me because she doesn't remember.
Yeah.
How much does, you're saying you're hearing kind of a swell of people asking for it. Has that changed over the years with social media and forums and all the online side? Because, I mean, 10 years ago, there wasn't Facebook, or maybe 12 years ago or something. So, I mean,
and you're dating yourself now, Ryan.
Whatever, I don't know. Yeah, YouTube started in 2005.
Maybe? These kids in their Facebook.
Yeah. Get off my lawn. But how much does that affect where now people are able to reach out to you guys even more so than at the trade shows?
Maybe. I mean, it's, I don't know. Maybe I guess the more consumer, like, touch points you have and the more places you have to get feedback, I guess you're going to get more feedback. But honestly, like, it doesn't really change the type of feedback you get. Like, if I took 100 comments at a trade show and compared it to 100 comments on our social media, like, it's probably going to be pretty representative. So, definitely we heard it from more people as a result of, the internet, I guess, and social media. And we've been a lot more active on social last couple years too. So we've been a little bit more receptive to some of those comments, but for sure, I don't know that it changed anything. I think, I'll tell you what, the one that we got hammered with the most was this TV show that I'm sure you guys know that featured prominently a character with a Colt python. And that, believe it or not, probably more than anything drove at least, I don't know, some more mainstream interest, or maybe reminded people of it, I guess, or something. That actually was a pretty big, I don't want to say it was a driver for us to bring it back, but I think it kind of, it kind
of spurred the growth of it.
It was just dumb luck.
It's a big groundswell is what it is. I mean, guys on forums talk about that.
Yeah, it reminds people of like how cool this gun is. Like, oh, that is a cool gun.
Yeah, or you're sitting there watching the show with your dad, and he's like, before you know it, he's telling you his I used to have a Python story, and then there you go. You're talking about it. So
Well, Ryan, you've got a Python from your granddad. I mean, that's you'll always have that story, and
I know you were excited. So this is honest to God, and this is kind of talking about backstories. We were talking with Justin and the guys at Colt, and they said, we got something new. It's kind of a big deal. We think it's a big deal. And the way this stuff works, if you're listening to this, is a lot of times we'll eventually get there to find out what it is maybe, but you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement and all that stuff. So we're kind of going, but Justin, what is it?
What is it?
Well,
what is it? Come on, man.
Well, we're not quite ready. Give us the juice. We'll get you an NDA, but what is it? And we're all in the office going, you think it's a Python?
We had speculation for months on what it was. Because you guys teased us a little too early. It's like when I go to tell my kid we're getting a dog and he's asking, is a dog here today? Like the doorbell rang the other day, and he goes, is that the dog? I go, do you think a dog could actually ring a dang doorbell? Jeez.
He's got his own issues going on during quarantine. But you guys brought the pythons down. We did some filming with them. And I brought my old one from my grandfather out because we wanted to compare what they look like, what they feel like, all that stuff. And honest to God's truth, one of the big deals for me, Python, is just the action, the trigger and the whole mechanism. And you're going, man, I kind of thought, I just went in assuming the new one couldn't be as good as what I thought my old one was. And it absolutely is. Absolutely. It was just, I'm going, hold them side by side, and you shoot one, you shoot the other, and you're trying to figure out, you're like, man, I don't know, you guys did it.
it's one of those things where we knew going into it. We knew we were going to get just judged as harshly as could be on that action and on that trigger. And, and we spent a lot of time on it. And I think it paid off. It really did. We were able to do something really kind of cool and really update it, but we didn't lose that feel. We didn't lose sort of that cleanness that Python's known for. And in fact, I mean, I got to tell you, I really think we hit a home run and really improved it. Now the thing we run into the most is that we didn't necessarily beat people's expectation or build up in their head. But the reality is if you hold it next to an older Python, like it's there, it holds up.
That's what I'm saying. It really does.
There's some people who maybe have 25 years worth of buildup in their head from the last time that they've held one and pulled a trigger. Those kind of legends are larger than life. You can't.
It's kind of like high school football.
I think the question has to be asked is you look at the comparison from the old and new, but right now what's happening with sales of these? Can you guys keep them in stock?
Oh God, no.
See, there you go. People love it. I mean, if you can't keep them in stock, you've done something correctly.
So like one of the ways we use to kind of look at it is if you just look at GunBroker, just look at what they're going for above MSRP, there you go. There's the answer. People aren't even willing to wait for one. They got to have it. Yep. That's clearly a mark of success when you've launched a new product. I know it's frustrating for consumers. Like they wish we could have enough for everybody right out of the gate, but it's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like there's somebody making pythons right now, literally right now. They could be making yours.
Right.
That's the way it works. It's
Are you guys going to get rid of the Python?
Because
I've got one in the office. I'm going to have to buy now.
We're going to discontinue the Python now. It was a trick. Yeah.
Gotcha.
We only want so many out there.
That was some of what we heard during before we launched it. It was like, well, you should make a special edition for the Walking Dead. It was a show. You should make a special Walking Dead edition. We're like, with special edition. We don't make the thing.
We don't make the regular edition. How the hell are we gonna do a special edition?
Oh, that's funny. You know, man, but you're right. That's going back to that whole TV show movie thing. It is amazing how you hear about that. I remember, you know, Dirty Harry, and there's just certain movies that get attached to certain guns.
Yeah.
And it's it goes for decades.
Yeah. Dirty Harry's a good one. What was that other one that Bronson
What was it? Death Wish or whatever.
Death Wish, yeah.
Yeah.
Those old Death Wish movies. What do you have? He had like a Wildey or something like that. And then I swear they like built that whole brand on that.
Right.
Their notoriety from that movie. It was, I don't know. Sometimes it just happens. It just catches, you know, like a little brush fire sometimes.
Yeah. So.
I think one of the coolest things is, and maybe you guys can do this for like a NRA show if we have those again, if there's such thing as those again, but bring back movie guns, have movie guns in your booth where people can kind of come and look at them and stuff like that. I did get to hold the Model 29 though from Dirty Harry, the actual gun, which was freaking awesome.
Gun. Oh, where is that gun? I didn't know that one's floating around somewhere.
Yeah, Smith & Wesson, they are this movie house. So these big movie houses, you know, they have all these guns, all these props and everything else. And so they partnered with them and brought those guns to, you know, the SHOT Show, and you were able to go by and look at them. So,
That's cool. I didn't know.
Maybe that's something that would be cool for a display at the next NRA Colt booth.
Woody Harrelson doing a booth appearance at the Colt booth. There you go. And he wouldn't do it. He's too Hollywood. He'd be blacklisted.
Hey, look what Chuck Norris is doing. Come on.
This is a challenge for you, Woody. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
At the NRA, Firearms Museum in at the headquarters there, they've got a whole section of movie guns,
right?
And they've got I don't know, off the top of my head, like the No Country for Old Men shotgun is there, and like, I don't know, I have some pictures, but they had a whole display of movie guns there, and very cool kind of display. And I'm sure there's a bunch of Colts there, and that's a cool little stop. I can one up your
Dirty Harry gun. Come on.
And that is the AK from Red Dawn.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so that used to be at Long Mountain Outfitters. I don't know what happened with all that now, but it's probably 10 years ago I was there in their vault, and they had that gun, and they had the Terminator minigun, and a couple other
So did you get goosebumps when you held it? And I think the most important question is, did you yell Wolverines?
Yeah, obviously.
No, I think we all did. There was a bunch of us there, and I think we
you have to. Now Colt has been making guns for a few years. So
good save.
I didn't say it, but Colt's been making guns for a few years, as you may be aware. So they actually have guns being carried by and shot by way before there were actually movies. Some of the stuff that if you go to the Colt, I visited you guys before, and you've got these letters of authentication. I can't say it right now.
Authentication.
It's authentic.
Authentication.
Authentication. Yes. And
this is grammar hour.
This is, you guys have some stuff that's wild to me, at least historically.
Yeah. And, one thing that's kind of interesting about firearms, right now, you go to buy a gun, right? You go to a gun store and you go, and they bought the gun from a distributor. Colt as the manufacturer today, we don't necessarily know who exactly is, has bought the gun, because we sold it to a distributor, they've sold it to a dealer, and the dealer has sold it to a person. Well, guns didn't work that way forever. Right. If you go back far enough, guns, you'd just call up Colt and buy a gun. And, especially prior to the Gun Control Act and all that stuff. So you go back far enough, and it's like, oh, we have shipping records of this gun and it got sold to this general or it got sold to this person. So, you know, all of those shipping records from like the 1800s, mm-hmm. from the early 1900s, they're all available. The problem is it takes somebody a lot of time to sort of pick through them. So there's actually a separate group called Cold Archive Services, and they do that. I mean, if you give them a serial number that you've got on some, you know, 1850s revolver or something like that, they'll go back and find the records, whatever records we have available on that.
Yeah.
And give you a letter that shows, you know, where it first shipped, the configuration it was in. And it is really cool because, like, you could just get totally surprised. You could just have some older gun that's kicking around, and then you go back and you find out it's just got some awesome history behind it.
I mean, I remember there were letters in the office there. It's like, I don't know, Doc Holliday or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this gun was sent. He bought it for, you know, $6, and it was sent to Doc Holliday or whoever it is. You're going,
yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. And, you know, it's one of the neat things about that comes with working with a company that's got that kind of history behind it. And there's only a couple. I mean, Remington for sure, Smith & Wesson for sure, us and you know, probably a couple others have that just long history. And it's one of the things that makes it really cool. You know?
Well, and also, I mean, guns are one of those few products that will last generations if they're taken care of. So you can have a gun from the 1860s or 70s or whatever that's still around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we get a lot of it. The NRA show, depending on where it's at, is very different for us. So it's really funny. Like in Houston, I'll bring up Houston because I remember that one in particular. I think it was 2014. I could be wrong about that, but you'd have people actually just showing up. Maybe make that 2013. You'd have people showing up to the show and like pulling guns out of purses or backpacks and being like, "Hey, check this out! I got this from my like." And you're like, "All right, like, we're not equipped to like deal with, you know, people bringing guns into the booth necessarily. So
whip this out of my purse."
You can blow that down a little bit. Appreciated. But it just speaks to like how passionate people are, just how excited they are to come, you know, show you this thing that might've been passed down like three generations, but they still have it. It still means something to them. And it is really cool. It's really cool.
Okay, I have found my new obsession now, and I'm not gonna lie. I'm not even ashamed about it. Okay,
You'll be the judge of that.
IMFDB has the coolest thing.
Moving firearms database.
Dude,
yeah,
you can go in and you can see where all these guns have appeared, and so I'm like looking at the Colt Python, going, "Holy crap!"
Yeah,
and in everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a great site. We actually use it quite a bit. We do some social stuff with like Movie Monday, and I'll just go ahead and tell you up front, we get most of the answers from there. We're just not that good. We don't know that much stuff. We need good resources like that once.
All right, the Python did appear in Scarface. It made an appearance in Scarface.
Really?
Say hello to my little Python.
Yep. Yeah. Say hello to my little Python. Wow. But yeah, Chi-Chi is the actor character that
he's carrying a python.
Had it. He carried a python.
Okay.
All right.
How cool that is. Okay, that's cool. Like I know what I'm doing for the rest of the evening.
Basically, there goes my day. That's it.
Yep.
I'm done.
4 hours later, he's just texting Ryan. Did you know? So,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Two, not one.
That was a good one. Was that one?
Yeah, tall lady. They're all really good.
Bridgie.
Very cool. Now, kind of like hanging on to this movie gun thing, how often do you guys get contacts from movies or production houses or from prop houses saying, "Hey, we need X number of guns"?
I can tell you almost never. Most of these guys do what they do with guns that are either like out on the market or they've already built up really massive collections that they're reusing and whatnot. Like, you know, I can count the number of times on one hand that we've been reached out to. And, And, you know, it's a weird thing because it's like, you know, it's not like we're going to run a cold dad in the middle of the movie either. So, you know, for us, the studios and the movie making companies have sort of become aware of this, call it product placement or anything like that. And we don't have the kind of money that they're really actually looking for to be able to do that. So these prop houses kind of operate outside of placement, because at the end of the day, the movie still needs guns, and we're not going to give them any money because
right.
we don't have that Coca-Cola money or anything like that. And I think, I think a lot of it's done like just based on the people who run the prop house, like what they're into, and like they're just gonna what they have. So there's basically, I think three of those big prop houses, three or four of those big prop houses, and they're massive. And I'm sure there's a absolute ton of cold guns in them, but
we used to work with some prop houses in my former life as a PR guy. But we had, I've been on the hunt forever. I'm still looking for it. So if anybody knows, I'm looking for a pin reel handle from the reel from Jaws. They have the reel, but they don't have the handle on it. And it's like a specific one. And I cannot find one across the entire United States. So if you're out there, you're listening and you have a pin reel, I forget what the model number is, but I'm still on the hunt for that thing. They need it. The people need the reel handle from Jaws.
Specific.
Jaws ate it.
It fell off.
Oh, well, by the way, the best movie that the python appeared in, Canadian Bacon.
Bet you didn't know that one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on Gun Talk Nation, we like to leave you with a little tidbit of information that you can go and win free beers with your buddies. I'm glad we could do that today. Justin, thanks for being on with us, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been fun. See you guys next week on Gun Talk Nation.